Thanks for listening to the Revival Today podcast with Evangelist Jonathan Shuttlesworth. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram, Facebook, or online at revivaltoday.com. Now, here's Evangelist Jonathan.
Well, welcome. Day 11, prayer and fasting. So we're over the halfway point already. Examining what fasting unlocked in the Bible, part two. Hope you're enjoying it. Man, the night meetings have been off the hook. Adalys and I watched it from Texas yesterday. I thought Adalys did tremendous, and she's going to be on more shows. I got delivered from smoking yesterday. Wow. That's awesome, Sarah. I was thinking of starting just to deal with weight gain, but I'll probably go your direction instead. I thought Adalys did great on, I think it helps. I was thinking it's her first time on TV, but she does this all the time. She was like her, how she is on TV, which is tricky to do. People clam up and then they get into this like professional deer in the headlights mode. I thought Adalys was great yesterday, and then they recorded a couple more programs that'll be on later that are just Adalys. Oh no, I'm on one with her. And the Daystar family treated us super kindly. It's been such a divine connection. 1 year, I think 1 year today, that they offered to have us go on Daystar during prayer and fasting. After we had asked to go on and there were no slots, and then an hour popped open, the head of sales told me, I'm the only person that's on for an hour now, which there might be one more, but she said, I think you're the only one that's on for an hour. An hour popped open. I was going to do a half hour because it's half the price. And then I thought, no, the Lord opened an hour. Might as well do an hour. Okay, thanks, Stephanie. Glad to be with you and glad to be back. I had a great time down there. I took time. If you saw on Instagram, I went to go see my friend, Pastor Bob Nichols, and we met him at his favorite restaurant. Let me tell you what an impact Pastor Bob Nichols has had in Fort Worth, Texas. They built a strong church there over 55 years, Calvary Cathedral. It's where Dr. Rodney Howard Brown had his revival. I knew his favorite restaurant was H3. It's right next to the Cattleman. And I told Rachel, call and get a reservation for four. Me, Adalys, Pastor Bob, and then whoever he wanted to bring. And they said, sorry, we're booked up for the night. And Rachel said, well, the people I'm calling on behalf of are only going to be there for 1 day, and they wanted to take a local pastor and honor him. It's his favorite restaurant. You know what the hostess said? Is it Pastor Bob Nichols? I mean, it's not like we're in some little town. That's Fort Worth, Texas. She said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. Oh, if it's Pastor Bob, we'll clear out. We'll clear somebody out for him. And then they gave him his favorite table. So the guy, look what somebody wrote to me on Twitter. See if I can find it. I think I retweeted it. Pastor Bob was used. This is a pastor named Jeremy Sutton in Midland, Texas. Pastor Bob was used by God to lead my grandpa, Kenneth Johnson, to Christ. So think of this. Nobody saved in the family, which led to a radical conversion. Now there are over 45 of us in the ministry and 22 full-time pastors because of his obedience in that family. You are sitting with a five-star general. So that was great to be with him. I think he's going to come to the Pastor Rodney's camp meeting on the last week of January. And I'm happy. I'm looking forward to the second half of this fast. How many of you have had the Lord straighten something out or add something to you or open a door? This thing, I have not been doing this since I was 21 years old. Now 21 years later, I have not been doing this for fun or tradition. I hate tradition, and I especially hate tradition. It's one thing if the tradition's to have a slice of pecan pie every day, but the tradition to not eat for 3 weeks, you can have that if that's all it does. But to see what God does every year, and when the Bible says we do not know what we should pray for, nor how we should pray, that's awesome. Sarah from Orange County that got delivered from cigarette smoking said she had her mom watch on Daystar, and her mom's going to come when she comes out here in May. She said, even if I have to kidnap her. Just be careful with that, because kidnapping carries a stiffer penalty than murder if you look it up. So make sure you at least have like witnesses or whatever. Pretty great. And the Bible says we do not know what we should pray for nor how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays through us perfect prayers, prayers that are in line with God's will. So you don't even, you have things on your prayer list, you have things that you're believing for, but you don't even know what you're praying for. I could have been praying for this building during the 21-day fast in 2015 without even any plans to ever pastor, but the Holy Spirit knew everything in advance. I've gotten off medication, and I've lost 5 pounds. That's awesome, Elizabeth. That's great. Yeah, this is a great time, and it sets the course for your year, and it sets the course for future years. So we're glad to have you on, and remember, this week is a huge week. We have tonight, I'll be preaching, and then Dr. Jesse Duplantis tomorrow, 7 o'clock, and then we start all-night prayer, 11 o'clock or so, and go through the night till 6 a.m. We're going to do, Lord willing, and it could be altered, but we're going to do that 3 times this year. I want to do it every third of the year. So it'd be January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. January, May, and September are going to be our 40 days of prayer and fasting. So today is prayer and fasting, day 11, examining what fasting unlocked in the Bible. I want you to go back where I went with you 2 days ago, Judges 20. I thought this was interesting. Judges 20, 18. Before the battle, the Israelites went to Bethel and asked God, which tribe should go first to attack the people of Benjamin? The Lord answered, Judah's to go first. So the Israelites left early the next morning and camped near Gibeah. Then they advanced toward Gibeah to attack the men of Benjamin. But Benjamin's warriors who were defending the town came out and killed 22,000 Israelites on the battlefield that day. They lost. This reminds me of people. I know the Lord called me to do that, but then when we did it, it failed. It wasn't enough. I want you to write this down. Divine direction is not enough. You not only need to know where to go and what to do, you have to have the power to succeed once you're there. So they come back. The Israelites encouraged each other and took their positions again at the same place they had fought the previous day, for they had gone up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord until evening. And they asked the Lord, should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin? And the Lord said, go out and fight against them. They were doing the right thing. They were doing it in the right order. This shows you an interesting thing out of God's nature. He answered their question, but they were missing something. That's awesome, Maria. Fasting with us from Montreal. So they go out again. They wept in the presence of the Lord. Go out and fight against them. So the next day they went out again to fight against the men of Benjamin, but the men of Benjamin killed another 18,000 Israelites, all of whom were experienced with the sword. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They had wept before, they had prayed before. So you don't have to be a Bible scholar to see that the element that was missing up until now was fasting. Then when they mixed fasting in, now what happens? And look, it was fasting, write it down, they fasted until evening. So you don't have to feel like you're doing some kind of like cheapened fast that I made for you because you're weak and then the rest of us do a real fast. This is the fast they did there. They fasted until sundown. And they also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. So I guess you could also say that that element was missing. Jesus said, when you fast, when you pray, when you give. It would be a mistake to let these 21 days go by and not lay a sacrifice before the Lord. Yes, this is Judges chapter 20, Sandra. So they mix fasting and giving in. And the Israelites went up seeking direction from the Lord. And Phinehas, the Israelites asked the Lord, should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again, or should we stop? The Lord said, go. For tomorrow I will hand them over to you. So the Israelites set an ambush all around Gibeah. They went out on the third day and took their positions the same place as before. Same thing. But when the men from Benjamin came out to attack, they were drawn away from the town. And as they had done before, they began to kill the Israelites. About 30 Israelites died in the open fields along the roads, one leading to Bethel and the other leading back to Gibeah. Then the warriors of Benjamin shouted, "We're defeating them as we did before." Now you read the rest as we did 2 days ago. You can go back and watch that. And they rout them. They take the whole town. And even the 32 they lost, that beats 18,000 or however many. They were losing people by the thousands before. 18,000 Israelites. And now it's 32. So fasting and prayer, fasting from Spartanburg, South Carolina, had majority of our church join in, about 30 people last night, had Bible study, and the Spirit started moving mightily in prayer, believing for the best year yet. That's awesome. Slavic Sholak. I like that all these churches are doing this with us, several churches. That there's only one person registered on the sheet, but the whole church is doing it. The element, yes, it's okay to have liquids. I think if I mentioned that every day for the rest of my life, you'd still have people asking in the comments. What happened when they mixed fasting? And fasting was absent from the routine. Then they mixed fasting in, and they now where they used to. It wasn't like they were suffering slight defeats. The areas they used to get routed in, now they're having overwhelming victory. You can write down from overwhelming defeat to overwhelming victory. And that's where fasting gives you power. Let me phrase it right. Someone say, well, God already gave us power over the devil. Fasting gives you a manifestation and a demonstration of power over your enemy. God already told them to fight the enemy. God already told them to go out against them, just like he's told all of us. We have power over the devil. But to see a manifestation of that power, there is an accessing of it through fasting and prayer. Flip over to Mark chapter 9. This was the passage that got me on fasting and prayer starting out in the ministry. Mark chapter 9. All night prayer will be on YouTube. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Well, you know what? Go to Mark 9, verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white, whiter than any earthly bleach could ever make them. Then Elijah and Moses appeared and began talking with Jesus. Now I'm going to skip everything that happens after that. So what's Jesus doing before we get to Mark chapter 9, verse 14? He's on top of a mountain fasting. It doesn't mention he's fasting, but he's in a time of such intense prayer that the glory of God shines on his face and his clothes change colors. Now, I don't picture, though it doesn't say Jesus is fasting, Jesus is going to mention fasting at the end of the chapter. It's hard, good to see you, Nico. It's hard to picture that Jesus is doing that, holding a sandwich in one hand, with his clothes becoming dazzling white, and Elijah and Moses appearing next to him, and he's casually eating some rigatoni. Though it's not mentioned, that type of intensity of prayer is tough to do with a mouthful of food. So he's on the mountain to fast and pray. They didn't have protein bars and stuff. You couldn't like take snacks with you. He's not. It doesn't say he's fasting, but it's also not listed that he's eating. He's in prayer. You know, really, real prayer. Like, let's say we're not even calling. Let's say we're not even in a time of fast, and we call all night prayer from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. There's not going to be eating. We're not serving food, and who's going to be walking around praying and eating? I'm sure somebody would, but you can't pray and eat at the same time. So Christ, and then for Christ to talk about fasting in this same chapter, notice he's in a time of intense fasting and prayer before this story happens. Now the disciples who aren't with him likely are eating. 9:14, when they returned from the Mountain of Transfiguration to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. "What's all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it." They could not do it. Question, and I want you to answer in the comments. Had the disciples already been given authority over all the power of the devil? Yes. And you also know that when the disciples asked Jesus privately later, why weren't we able to do it? Jesus doesn't say, "Well, I was actually going to talk to you about that. You had no business trying to cast the devil out of someone. That's for me. After I ascend, then I'll give you that power." No, he had already given them authority over all the power of the devil. So a lot of the people in the anti-fasting crowd in the charismatic church, they say, "Well, people think they have to fast to have authority over the devil. I already have authority over the devil." Yes, you do, just like the disciples did. But there's an accessing of that power and an accessing of that authority. "I asked your disciples to cast out that spirit, but they could not do it." Jesus said, "You faithless people." What's Jesus put his finger on as the reason for failure? He's going to list basically two things here. Number one, faithlessness. So if faithlessness causes you to walk in defeat and under the bondage of the devil and not be able to break it, then how do you, if faithlessness is a problem, how do you get more faith? There's only one way to do it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we're not just praying every day when we do these broadcasts, or just go straight into prayer downstairs. Now, not so much anymore, because you don't have a lot of praying people like you used to in the church, but the Pentecostal church was full of praying people who had no faith. So they still would walk in defeat, and then your prayers end up as mournful prayers. "Oh, God, I don't understand," because you don't have faith. Jesus said you didn't have any faith. So prayer is not, you can write this down, prayer is not a substitute for faith, and fasting is not a substitute for faith. That's right, Priscilla. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion. And he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "All things are possible to him who believes." If you give me a little more monitor, guys, in the sound room, I want you to write that down. Mark 9:23, key scripture. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. And people, because of the delay, people are still writing in the comments. Fasting's not a substitute for faith. And it's not. I grew up in Pentecostal church, and there were a lot of older people who were very prayerful people, but they didn't have faith. And think of this. They would pray very strongly. "Father, Sister Mary just got sent to the hospital. She has cancer, but we know thou art able to heal all manner of sickness and disease." They'd go praying real strong like that and sweating and swinging their arms. And then at the end, "But even if it not be your will, O Lord." Well, you just undid your whole prayer. You wasted all your energy and wasted a lot of time, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man expect to receive anything from God. And you couldn't have anything that's more of an example of double-mindedness than telling God, I believe you're going to do this, but if you don't, I understand. That's not, that's as double-minded. God, you can do anything, but also at the same time, if you don't, we don't under. And they would call that, they would leave that in the area of God's sovereignty. Well, yes, well, you know, if you questioned that guy or you questioned that lady, hey, why did you say if it be your will at the end? Well, because we have to remember God's sovereign. Yes. And we need to remember that in God's sovereignty, he wrote this. And God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he ever spoken something, he'll bring it to pass. Has he ever said it, he'll carry it through. God's word's infallible. God's not a liar. God didn't write things in the Bible and then say, no, but you have to remember, I'm sovereign. I'm not going to go up and stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and he'll go, hey, you're going to, where do you think you're going, buddy? Oh, I'm going to my mansion. Oh, no, you're going to hell. Me? No, I believed in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And according to Romans 10, the Bible says anyone that does that is saved. No, I know I wrote that. But you also have to remember I'm sovereign. And in this case, by my sovereignty, I've chosen to erase your name from the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, if God could do that, then your salvation wouldn't even be secure. If you say, well, I know the Bible says that, but we have to remember that God's sovereign. Then you can't even be sure you're going to heaven. But the same, now flip it. The same way you can be sure you're going to heaven, based on Romans 10, you can be sure of God's will for healing, based on a litany of scriptures. Matthew 8, 1 to 17, 1 Peter 2, 24, Isaiah 53, Exodus 23, 25, Exodus 12, 22 through 26, on down, Psalm 103, 1 to 5, Psalm 91, on down the line, Acts 10, 38. I can be sure of it. So I'm not double-minded. So I'm all for praying and sweating and swinging your arms and saying, God, you're going to bring Sister Mary out of the hospital. And then when you end it, now think of how much, think of this. Having faith allows you, instead of saying, but even if it not be your will, we understand. Instead, you close it by saying, we believe, we receive it, and we call it done by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that's a single-minded prayer. Because if I know the will of God, then I don't have any double-mindedness. How can we ever really know the will of God, brother? Write down in your notes and in the comments, God's word is God's will. God's word is God's will in print. When I know this, I know what God's will is. His will is not mysterious. The Bible demystified it. Now his will is clear. Hey, Shalise up in Canada. Good job up there. So that's how you deal with faithlessness. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child. I already read that. All things are possible to him that believes. So there we deal with faith again. Faith, believing, not if you can, God, if you would. I told you Camila corrected me because I made a statement, Lord, if you would do this for us. And she said, why did you say, hey, Pa, what do you mean if? You said if's the language of unbelief. So then I just thought, since I'm being corrected, I might as well just get fully corrected. I said, what should I have said, Camila? She said, you should just say, thank you, Lord, for doing it. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief. And that's where people battle. Even people that would say, like, I don't believe in healing. If you press them on it, they actually do believe God can heal. But then there's a problem. Something happened. Like, what was causing this man's unbelief? It's hard to watch your son get attacked by the devil year after year and it not affect your faith. So what happens is, if you don't get victory in an area, then the devil's not only going to have victory in that area, he's going to deaden your faith in that area for other people. How many of you, when you started listening to me and started getting turned on to healing, had another Christian tell you, I don't believe in that, and their reason was someone they knew that didn't get healed? So think of this. because they were unable to get victory in that area, they allowed the devil not only to kill that person, but to destroy their faith. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So on the flip side, when you get victory in an area, you're not only saving that person's life, you're building your faith by exercising your faith, that your faith would come out as gold purified by fire. When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd and people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit?" Jesus replied, "This kind can only be cast out by prayer and fasting." All demons don't have the same strength. You know how you know that? Because Jesus taught when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the dry places seeking rest and finding none, then finds seven spirits more wicked than itself. The demon that's in charge of being over the state of California is different than the demon that haunts a hotel in Tennessee and flips the lights on and off sometimes at 2 a.m. or makes noises in the wall. A demon that makes someone deaf, thou spirit of deafness, that's afflicting one person with hearing loss. That's different than a spirit that's over whatever nation you want to, North Korea, where the gospel can't come in, Yemen, where there, you can't, you, it, it has successfully kept preachers out of that place. So you can have some success without prayer and fasting, but it's a guarantee that the man who doesn't pray and fast is eventually going to hit a level of demonic opposition that he doesn't have the power to break through. But let's focus on the positive. The man who is committed to fasting and prayer will have continuous breakthrough every time he's challenged. Turn to Daniel chapter, well, no, before we go to Daniel 10, I know Dake has a note on that, and I want to read it. Mark 9:29, and he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." This is interesting. Note the two ifs of verse 22 and 23, one by the father of the child and one by Jesus. Deity can use "if thou canst" just as much as man. In fact, God has the only lawful right to use such a term, for it is a settled fact that all things are possible with God. So if man can quit his eternal questionings and satanic unbelief concerning God's will and power, all things will be possible. And I like, that sounds very strong, right? Because it is strong, but it's true. Hey, Jer in Florida, good to see you. Say, I want you to write those two words down, satanic unbelief. Unbelief is satanic. It's not a mind issue. It's not, I need things explained. I just have a little trouble believing that. No, it's satanic. Faith is of God. Unbelief is of the devil. The sin of the world is their unbelief in me. That's why Jesus never comforted people that had unbelief. He rebuked unbelief. And he rebuked people who had unbelief. Rebuked them harshly. I mean, this dad's going through a hard time. And he brought his son to get healed. So he's not, he came with his son and said, "Jesus, I don't believe you're the Messiah. That's why my son suffers. So I don't want any healing." No, he's bringing his son to get prayed for healing. And Jesus let him have it. What do you mean, if I can? If you've ever watched, you know, a lot of times when I watch my Uncle Ted preach and deal with people as he's ministering healing to them, it reminds me of this operation of Jesus in Mark 9, where he's very kind to sick people and kind to people, but if they step into unbelief, he turns into a bull, like at the rodeo that I saw last month. No, don't say that. They'll talk like that to somebody that is a nice person and they're at his meeting and they came for healing. I just can't seem to get healed, brother. Well, first of all, quit saying that. You know, it's strong. Because unbelief's a spirit, and if you let that, it'll block the miracle. And he's gotten kinder and more skillful as he's gotten older. Let me tell you, you should have heard him when he was my age. I heard one person came for healing, and they just kept talking. It just doesn't seem to ever work, and I've been prayed for. And he took his hand and clamped it over the person's mouth. I'd never seen stuff like that till I saw him. And he's not the only one. Look up Jack Coe on YouTube and his healing meetings. Anybody that's used in miracles from Jesus onward dealt harshly with unbelief. Because you're dealing with the thing that's blocking the miracle. It's not the person. Jesus loved that father and he loved the boy, but unbelief is satanic and unbelief is a spirit. And if you let that spirit talk in your meeting, you're not going to have any miracles. Now notice in Judges 20 and in Mark 9, fasting dealt with an enemy. In Judges, it was a physical enemy. In the Gospels, it was an invisible enemy. Fasting deals with the enemy. It unlocks the power that's available to you. That's actually what I was looking for, Molly. So thank you. Fasting, let me see why he wrote that in Psalm 69:10. I'm curious now. Did anybody want to see Adalis on Daystar yesterday? She did great. Hope you enjoyed her. Psalm 69:10. Maybe a fasting scripture I'm unaware of. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. Fasting, the cure for unbelief, is the title of what Dake wrote. Flip the page. I think it's 10:43. Yep. The disciples asked the Lord why they could not heal a lunatic boy. Now think of this. The spirit often seizes my son and throws him into the fire or water trying to kill him, and he had seizures, and he was deaf and mute. Don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. But what would the church do today with a boy like that? He has special needs, you know, he can't really sit in the service. He'll have episodes. We have like a special room for him. Jesus dealt with it. Lunatic boy. Jesus said, because of your unbelief, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Matthew 17:14-21 as well. Listen to this. Faith needs prayer for its development and full growth, and prayer needs fasting for the same reason. That is a powerful point. Faith needs prayer for its full development. You exercise faith through prayer. And the same way faith needs prayer to come into full bloom, Prayer needs fasting to come into full bloom. Fasting has done wonders when used in combination with prayer and faith. This is a biblical doctrine. To fast means to abstain from food, that which caused the fall of man. Fasting humbles the soul before God, Psalm 35, 13, chastens the soul, Psalm 69, 10, and crucifies the appetites and denies them so as to give the entire time to prayer. 2 Samuel 12, 16 to 23, Matthew 4, 1 to 11. It manifests earnestness before God to the exclusion of all else, 1 Corinthians 7, 5. Shows obedience, gives the digestive system a rest, demonstrates the mastery of man over appetites, aids in victory over temptation, helps to attain power over demons, develops faith. So it doesn't add more faith, but it like causes the faith you have to shine forth. Now, you don't know what you're talking about, El Chanil. Don't preach a message in the comments contrary to what I'm teaching. How can you say fasting deals with unbelief, not harder devils, when Jesus said, this kind of demon cometh not out. It's not this kind of unbelief. If you know so much, how come I've never heard of you? I've been a Christian for 40 years and in the ministry for 21 years. I've never heard your name one time. I'm going to stick with what A.A. Allen taught. When you start filling tents up with blind people getting healed, then you can contradict A.A. Allen. This isn't new. This is Dake, Allen, I'm telling you it. Angela said, where is this in the Dake Bible? It's the note under fasting and prayer, the cure for unbelief, on page 1043. Then he continues, all believers are supposed to fast, but no regulations or set rules are given as to how long or how often. That is determined by individual desire and need. Men should fast when under chastening, under judgment, in need, in danger, when worried, in trouble, in spiritual conflict, and when desperate in prayer. Now, just to show you that El Chanil guy doesn't have a freaking clue what he's talking about, turn to Daniel chapter 10. You're welcome to disagree with me, El Chanil, but I do notice you're on my YouTube channel watching me, and I've never been on yours to watch you. Just a thought. Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Cyrus of Persia, Daniel, also known as Belteshazzar, had another vision. He understood that the vision concerned events certain to happen in the future, times of war and great hardship. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine had crossed my lips, and I used no fragrant lotions until those 3 weeks had passed. I had been in mourning or fasting for 3 whole weeks. I'd eaten no rich food, no meat, no wine. This is where you get the Daniel fast from, because Daniel tells you, this is the Daniel fast. Bob Rogers, who wrote many books and great materials on fasting, said it's important to remember that Daniel was in his 90s at this point. So he said, if you're in your 90s and want to go on the Daniel fast, go for it. But it's a modified fast, A, because he was very old, B, he wasn't on a 21-day fast. He was on a fast until he got his answer. Daniel 10. On April 23rd, I was standing on the bank of the great Tigris River. I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning and his eyes flamed like torches. His arms and feet shone like polished bronze. And his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. To contrast that with Revelation 1 and what John saw, I'm curious what Dick has to say if that was Jesus or not, making an Old Testament appearance. Yeah, he said, the vision is in almost every detail like that of the Son of Man in Revelation 1, 12 to 17. The two visions seem to refer to the same person. Only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing. But they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. And Dake wrote there, you know, just for some side notes for study, he wrote, proving that it's possible for one person to see a vision and the people around them to see nothing. That happened with Saul on the road to Damascus. They just heard like what sounded to them like thunder, but they didn't see anything. So notice that. Fasting and prayer will cause you to see what others don't see, and hear what others don't hear in the spirit. The men standing with them couldn't see it. It opens the eyes of your spirit. They were terrified and ran away to hide, so I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me. My face grew deathly pale. So not only is the person extremely similar or identical to Revelation 1, 12 to 17, Daniel's reaction is the exact same as the Apostle John. I fell at his feet as one dead. When I heard the man speak and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me. It's identical. And the man said to me, Daniel, you're very precious to God. Not interesting too, it doesn't say the angel, it says the man. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I've been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Check this out. There's so much here, and we're so far into the broadcast that I don't know how much to get into. Jem said, Rodney Howard Brown rubs me the wrong way. He's just a little off. Like maybe he's a good guy, but he's just a little odd. Meanwhile, I'd like to see a picture of you. I notice you have no profile picture. You're probably cross-eyed in a house with nine cats. Your family's not been to see you. But yeah, he's the one that's off. If you can, send pictures of how many churches you've built. I'd be interested. You smelly woman. I just feel in my spirit, because you become sensitive in your spirit when you're fasting, that you also have terrible hygiene. Like an odd, distasteful smell. Now I'm here to explain. From the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, obviously in context in fasting, your request was heard in heaven. And I've come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to you, to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. I'm going to read the rest. I normally stop there, but while he was speaking to me, I looked down at the ground, unable to say a word. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing in front of me, I'm filled with anguish because of the vision I have seen, my Lord, and I'm very weak. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? Yeah, see, he wouldn't. Number one, he wouldn't have talked to an angel that way. Number two, if he did talk to an angel that way, remember angels would say, don't worship me, I'm only a servant of the Lord. How can someone like me, your servant, talk to you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Then the one who looked like a man touched me again. I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace. Be encouraged. Be strong. Now, if we were going to do a full study on fasting all in one sitting, then I would go, but I'll probably deal with it tomorrow. 1 Kings 18. Elijah fasting. An angel baked cakes for him, and he ate it and was strengthened. Here, Christ, in a picture, touches Daniel and speaks to him and strengthens him. So there is a spiritual strengthening of you in fasting to run the whole year. Elijah ran on the strength of that meal for 40 days and 40 nights. You're receiving something from God to run this year. Where you were too weak to go forward, now you'll have strength. I felt my strength returning. Don't be afraid, he said, for you are very precious to God. Peace, be encouraged, be strong. I want you to write down, I am very precious to God. Scroll up on the comments real quick. Okay. Oh, you know? Sorry. I thought you were contradicting me. I forgive you. I apologize for all unpleasantness. But you understand there's people that teach. That's actually a teaching. Fasting doesn't deal with demons. Fasting deals with unbelief. No. It deals with both. And actually, both have to have prayer and the word to deal with either. Love you too. Sorry, I thought you were contradicting me, and I don't like that. But I realize now you weren't, so air hug. But to the person that said something about Dr. Rodney, you can kiss my gospel grits. You know, and let me tell you another thing. People think that it's like ungodly to do that. Let me ask you a question. What do you think God would more approve of or disapprove of? If someone attacked my spiritual father publicly and I remained quiet, that's what I feel is ungodly. When Dr. Rodney got arrested and I went on air that night and let people have it that were against him, people thought I went too far and stuff. And then I got a text message from an apostle in the Caribbean. And when I say an apostle, I mean a guy that has the largest church in that nation and then churches all over the Caribbean, who's almost 70 years old. And he wrote, you showed yourself to be a true son of your spiritual father today when you went on air and defended him. Good job. So, just letting you know how I think. It actually would be ungodly to remain quiet. As he spoke these words to me, I suddenly felt stronger. And I said to him, please speak to me, my Lord, for you have strengthened me. He replied, do you know why I've come? Soon I must return to fight against the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, and after that, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Greece will come. Meanwhile, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one helps me against these spirit princes except Michael. I have been standing beside Michael to support and strengthen him since the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede. I mean, stuff goes on over nations. Now, write this down. Fasting and prayer affects the nation that I'm in. Daniel's fast here begins to break the hold of the devil on God's people in Persia. Our 8-year-old told us last week she wants to come to Revival Today Bible College. That's great. Fasting and prayer affects my nation. I expect to see more national breakthroughs before we end this time of prayer and fasting. Then plus you're also planting seeds for the future. What else do you see from Daniel 10? From the first day, see, couple Daniel 10 with what we read in Judges chapter 20. From the first day you began to pray, I was sent with your answer. You're not trying to starve yourself to convince God to answer your prayers. There are enemy powers blocking what God has already released to you. Then an angel was sent with your answer. Then when the angel was held up by demonic power, I was sent. Possibly Christ mobilized to see to it that your answer would come. Fasting and prayer mobilizes tremendous supernatural power. God bless you, Emily. I will be, Kiernan. I know you guys are too. I'm looking forward to seeing you. That's true, Melissa. So what happens if he breaks the fast day 9? Well, you know, if it was going to happen, it was going to happen. This shows you some things, write this down, some things can withstand prayer. Some things, now this is Judges 20, Mark 9, and Daniel 10. Some things can withstand prayer. Some things can withstand prayers and some fasting. Nothing can withstand 21 days of prayer and fasting. Very few things can withstand 3 days of prayer and fasting. Nothing can withstand 21 days of prayer and fasting. Because even in the old covenant, 21 days of prayer and fasting broke the hold of a principality over a nation under an old covenant. So if that could do that then under that covenant, you should have an expectation. I had a friend who pastored who needed a new building for his church. And before the 21 days of prayer and fasting was over, he had had someone contact him in the beginning of the fast to turn a building over to him. And all the paperwork was done with the state and in his possession by the end of the month. I think we did 30 days of prayer and fasting that day. And at the end of January, it came to him. Nothing can withstand 21 days of prayer and fasting. The answer didn't come on the 21st day. The answer came day 1. But there were blockages. A lot of people's theologies. No, I didn't see that, Rick. You're the second person that put it in the comments. I'd like to know what you're talking about. Wow, that is worth mentioning. The Supreme Court just uprooted the Lemon Law. When people were writing that, I was thinking, big deal, so... What we have like more rights as car buyers. But apparently it dealt with that the Ten Commandments were not allowed to be displayed in public school, and a teacher was not allowed to have their Bible on their desk in a public school, and the Supreme Court just reversed it. The Ten Commandments can be displayed in public school, and a teacher can have their Bible in public school. You know, for all the people that have written off America, how do you explain all these court decisions, one after another, are going in the direction of the church and godliness? Interesting. John in Cincinnati, I love your Revival Today church and your meetings, but my absolute favorite is your teaching behind the desk. Never stop teaching from, please, please, please never stop teaching from the desk like this. I'm glad to hear it. Let me ask, vote. in the comments. Live meetings or desk teachings? What's your pick? I'd be interested to see what people's favorite is. If you had to pick one, it's split. So I'll just keep them both going. Hey, Chuck, Ando, I really love you. Many people's theology on fasting and prayer is messed up because it's like based on there being no devil. Well, everything God's given us is already available. Yes, but there are enemies. The Apostle Paul said, there's before me a wide open door, but there are many adversaries. Write down many adversaries. Fasting and prayer deals with those adversaries. That the door that's already opened, the things that have already been released, can be accessed. Pastor Eduardo Vargas, you don't have any plans to come into the United States before the end of the fast, do you? I'd love to have you up here if you're going to be in the country, but I know you have a lot of responsibilities there, so I've been thinking about you a lot during this time. You're doing a great job down there. Many adversaries. Fasting and prayer deals with the adversaries. Many things can withstand a prayer. Some things can withstand short fasting and prayer. Nothing can withstand 21 days of fasting and prayer. Wife and I hitting the road today from Greenville, South Carolina, to be at the meetings tomorrow. Tonight, of course, we have prayer at 12:05 to 1. We have tonight's breakthrough service at 7 p.m. I'm back in the pulpit. And tomorrow, Jesse Duplantis at 7 o'clock, then all-night prayer. If you've registered for prayer and fasting, yes, Jesse and Kathy Duplantis, and then both will be ministering. If you've registered for prayer and fasting, part of that registration was to make a plan to come here for 3 days. These would be a great 3 days to pick. We'll be at 10 a.m. is at the Montour Junction Sports Complex. Go again next week. And then we're going to have a Sunday night service to break the fast on the 22nd. And that'll be here at 107, and that'll be a great time. We'll have food in. If you have questions, anything to do with the fast, revivaltoday.com/fastingfact, F-A-Q. Frequently asked questions, fasting FAQ. RevivalToday.com/fasting FAQ. Drew said, could you explain a little more of what the Revival Today Fitness is? Yeah, it's going to be just like we have Revival Today Veterans Brigade. Revival Today, it's going to be for people that want to work out, and we're going to launch that right at the end of the fast because that's a time where you have your body whipped into subjection. It's a good time to launch. You heard me say how I never joined a gym or did any fitness stuff. That's when I joined. It was right when I finished the fast in 2018 or 19. I went straight to the gym and joined like the week we got off because I thought if I'm ever going to do it, it's going to be now. My eating's disciplined. No, there's no Saturday services this whole month. You think you'll ever come to the Florida Panhandle? When you ask if I'm going to come somewhere, you understand, people say, well, What would it take for you to come to Idaho? An invitation. You can't just show up in the Florida panhandle and rip the mic out of a pastor's hand and start preaching. So, when I come to the Florida panhandle, I've been to Congo. I've preached in places where I got an email from the US.gov to please reconsider where I'm about to go. What if you woke up later than 6 a.m.? Can you still do the fast for the day? Did you eat in your sleep? I don't understand what's hard to figure out about it, not eating 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. If you're asleep, yeah, it's not no naps. We are going to break the fast with communion this year, Kaylee. I understand you've mentioned this before, but are you doing liquids only or water and coffee? Coffee is a liquid. Are you doing liquids only or coffee? How do you make your coffee? You drink it as one frozen cube? Do you drink it in gas form? You steam it and then breathe it in? Water as much as possible. Coffee's fine. Coffee's 5 calories. If you put home, I wouldn't put half and half in it. You can get it where it's 30 grams of fat a cup. It's not bad advice, Hope. You can have juice. I'm going to send. Gatorade is okay as far as it being a fast, but Gatorade's not okay. Don't drink corn syrup. It's a nice rule of life. Should be the 11th commandment. Try to drink natural things. Yeah, don't fast if you're a nursing mother. Go back and watch. I dealt with this for 3 days. Common questions on fasting and prayer. And I would encourage you, after you get off the fast, to eat natural, home-cooked food as much as possible. Not go through drive-thrus and... Wow. That's awesome, Christina. Lots of great testimonies. This Dake Bible, that's a great study. This used to be like the only thing we gave out, and then we kind of paused on it. Anyone that gives $500 or more today, we're going to send this to you as a thank you. Anyone who gives any seed at all, these are my cousin's 2 books. A Complete Guide to Biblical Fasting, Master the Habit that Provokes God's Favor, and the 21-Day Fast Field Guide. Bob Rogers wrote the foreword, and I haven't read it. Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. comes from a family that not only teaches prayer and fasting, but they practice the discipline of fasting. Ted has seen the discipline required of fasting and has experienced the rewards and victory that make the pain and difficulties of not eating worth it all. A Complete Guide to Biblical Fasting has an underlying theme that the discipline of fasting is the hidden key that creates history makers. There was a reason Jesus fasted for 40 days. If he could have received the same results in his ministry only by praying and using his faith, he would have never fasted. Great point. However, there are some miracles and breakthroughs that only abstaining from food bring. The New Testament would have been quite a bit shorter if Jesus had not fasted. He would not have walked on water, raised Lazarus from the dead, cast out demons into a herd of pigs, nor multiplied the loaves and fishes. Dr. Young E. Cho was dying of tuberculosis at 17 years of age. A schoolmate gave him a Bible. When he read about the miracles, he asked Jesus to heal him. His father threw him out of his Buddhist home. He started preaching in a tent and eventually grew to the world's largest church with over 1 million members. His mother-in-law, Madam Che, once said to my father and me, "The secret of our church growing to over 1 million members is to pray, 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 and fast, fast, fast." In his book, Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. explains how fasting releases not only natural blessings, but supernatural miracles. It extends your life, causes your hair to grow, is one of the most powerful healing agents to cancer, brings prosperity, increases your prayer power, breaks demonic strongholds, heals family issues, breaks addiction, brings deliverance from homosexuality, releases wisdom and solutions to impossible situations, stirs up the gifts of the Spirit, discharges angels to work on your behalf, and much more. When I first began my journey of fasting, I was 22 years old. I didn't know anybody who fasted. I broke every rule and failed in my fasting efforts more than any other person. The church I pastored ran 40 people. In 30 days after I began fasting one day a week, the church grew to 20 people, from 40 to 20. For me to grow, I had to have a backdoor revival first. In other words, other people had to leave. Since then, fasting has opened doors in my life. I've preached in 47 countries, pastored a church of over 9,000 members, preached at the largest church in the world, the largest Presbyterian church in the world, the largest Methodist church in the world, and own over 7 TV stations and 7 radio stations. None of this would ever have been accomplished without the breakthrough key of fasting. Are the discomfort and struggles of a fast worth it? Absolutely. I encourage you to not only read this book, but study and practice it. Begin a life of fasting. When you do, buckle your seatbelt, because God is getting ready to take you to places where few people have ever gone. This may be the most important book you will read this year outside of your Bible. Dr. Bob Rogers, Pastor, Evangel World Prayer Center, author, 100 Reasons to Fast and the 21-Day Fast. These two books get sent to everybody who sows a seed of any size today. If you do 500 or more, I'll add to it this Dake Bible with all these great study notes. If you do 1,000 or more, I'll send you a signed copy of my new book that just got released, Understanding the World in Light of Bible Prophecy. And my dad wrote the foreword for this. I want to encourage you to sow and mix that in with your fasting today. Here are the ways you can give. Where are you from, Brother Mankarn Singh? Me and my wife have been going through this ministry in your videos. We're super blessed and beyond happy. Thank you. We might come down there. Oh, from Maryland. I should have read the rest. Please pray for us. You might come from Maryland. What's to think about? If you got on the highway and zoned out, you'd be in Pittsburgh. RevivalToday.com. Click Give Now. That has all the ways to give in one spot. RevivalToday.com, and you click Give Now. Cash App, $RTGive, Venmo at RTGive, PayPal, revivaltoday.com/PayPal. If you want to call, 412-446-2332. If you want to send something in the mail, wow, Shannon, from where? So paid $2,000 to get there tomorrow. Where are you from? Revival Today, P.O. Box 7, Prosperity, Pennsylvania, 15329. Loved it, Jamin. Minneapolis. See you soon. Coming to all-night prayer from Illinois. Who else is coming to all-night prayer that's not here yet? There's Illinois, Minnesota. Tell you, it will be a giant middle finger to the devil to have the auditorium full of people praying all night. Thank you.
Hey, this is Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I want to thank you for listening to my podcast, or if you're listening to my wife's, thank you on her behalf. If you want to be more than just a casual listener and stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, go to revivaltoday.com and click Give Now and be a part of the 1,000 monthly partners that we're believing for. I have a special gift that I'll send to you today, and I'll say thank you in advance. Until next time, thanks for listening. See you later.